Good morning. We have a vibrant crowd today. Thank you for coming and joining us. I'd like to call to order the Kendall County Board's adjourned September meeting for Tuesday, May 20th, 2025 at 9 a.m. If you'd please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you would please remain standing, I'd like to invite Bernard Merrow forward to do the invocation. He's part of the chaplain's program for the Kendall County. Thank you, sir. This seems really loud today. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Backman.
Whoa. Oh.
Ms. Flowers. Mr. Gangler.
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Here.
Mr. Peterson?
Present.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Here.
Ms. Shanley? Mr. Wormley?
I'm here.
You have a quorum.
And Member Flowers did say that she was not going to be here, so. Thank you. With a quorum present, could I have a motion to approve the agenda? DeBolt and Rodriguez, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next up, we have three special recognitions. I'd like to invite Jeff Worley, who is the president of the Historical Preservation Society, forward. We have preservation of a 2025 Historic Preservation Commission for the following. 223 South Bridge Street to Jason Pasola. An award for lifetime dedication to the field of historic preservation to Johanna Byron. And a presentation of 2025 Historic Preservation Commission Award for Lifetime Dedication to Thomas Milschwecki. And if I mess that name up, I apologize. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. The first presentation we have tonight is 223 South Bridge Street. Jason Pasola, is there a representative for Jason here? Come on.
Thank you, Carrie Pasola.
Oh, okay, Carrie.
Yes.
Great. So Jason bought the property and basically the buildings on the property.
Correct.
On the block.
Yes.
Year and a half ago, about?
Yes, approximately.
Okay.
So.
And then, I mean, you guys drive by it all the time. You see the incredible amount of work they've done to it. It just looks so good.
Thank you.
The mural on the wall to from Van Buren all the way to the railroad tracks.
Yes.
Everything has been redone and it looks so good.
Oh, thank you so much.
So this is one of the ones that we, on our group every year, we get
yes.
to present to different people.
Okay.
And we had three that really stood out. Yours is one of them.
Okay.
And we had enough money for two trophies. So
okay.
we pushed it a little bit because
okay.
We really do appreciate all that you guys have done.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, and when we moved here approximately 20 years ago, we just loved the downtown area and saw it had so much potential. So when we had that opportunity, we took it, and we specifically love that side, and we really wanted to just make it a little prettier. So
yeah. So I mean, Route 47, when they redid that, they basically slowed down downtown
yes.
Yorkville quite a bit. Then we had the recession.
It just
yes. piled on us. But through it all, you guys then jumped on it and
yeah.
have really done a great job
oh,
in starting
so
the rebuild of downtown Yorkville. So
we hope so. So
we're leaders.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And
thank you. Okay, great.
Thank you. And our second award is for, Joanna, come on up, because you have been so instrumental in for so long, and it's about time you finally get recognized, so we really do appreciate it. I'm going to flip over my notes here. So, 98, mm-hmm. First president of the Old Kendall Courthouse Commission. 18, historical Old Kenny County Jail. Mm-hmm. You're president of the American Association of University Women. I'd be very proud of that. And then you've been involved with the DAR, the Historic Society of Kendall County, which is, you know, you guys have basically started that and kept it going. You're a member of Chapel in the Green, and then pretty much involved in all the aspects of historical recognition. When there's something out there that might slip through the cracks, you and a couple of your cohorts have found information and brought it to the public's attention so we don't lose it. And that's very important to us. So thank you very much for everything you've done, and hopefully we'll continue to do.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's... And then our third award goes to Thomas, and I'm going to screw it up, Milchewski? Is Tom here? Tom is here. You made it.
Yay.
Thank you very
Sorry
much for
to be
coming.
Late.
No, that's okay. I'm happy that you did make it. So yours is an interesting story. You got involved in historic preservation a long time ago, actually.
Because of her right there.
Mom?
My mother.
Absolutely, yeah. And the work that you've done has been recognized locally, both in the media, all sorts of media. You've helped with collaboration with some books. And basically what Tom's done is taken found old pictures of historic Yorkville, gone out to the same spot, and taken another picture. And the difference and the similarities in the two of them are what makes it so unique and so interesting. So. That type of stuff is just, for me, is incredible. You're on the other page, sorry. You involved with Facebook, Yorkville Then and Now. You helped with the Images of America, and you helped save the old jail.
Yes, I did.
So, been well so far, and we hope that you continue. Again, like I said, there's yourself and the other two recipients. We're just three entities that we could not thank you. So,
well, it's very kind of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we hope you are able to continue.
Of course.
Okay. Let's give our picture.
I'd just like to chime in on two of those that I'm familiar with. Thomas, I think I started seeing your posts 5 or 6 years ago.
About seven.
Seven, okay. Just a lot of fun, a lot of historical things to see, and it was always neat to drive past after seeing your picture. And
I appreciate what you were doing. It really brought back some of this story.
This is, the Pasolas happen to be very dear friends of mine. They're actually neighbors, and so I know a lot of things they do for our community, and just many thanks to Carrie and Jason for all you do for our community. They actually end up purchasing the entire block so they can do all these beautiful things to downtown Yorkville, so many thanks to them.
Hi there. Because I'm always kind of a bulldog on historic things in its county, I wanted to let you guys know that there is one glaring error. Well, there's actually two glaring errors in this building. Downstairs, where the elevator bank is on the first floor, the main floor, there are the names of the soldiers who had served from the the Spanish-American War, the Mexican Wars, the Civil War, and World War I. There are names missing. We are missing the names of the colored soldiers who served in the Civil War, and they have been forgotten. There's also, today I'm doing some research, there is actually one white soldier who is missing as well. Company B, the 10th Illinois Cavalry, is listed there. His name is William Franklin Donovan. He's not on there because he later went on to become the, he was an officer in the 101st U.S. Colored Infantry, and I think that's how his name got forgotten. I don't think it was an intentional slight. What had happened is those plaques weren't even cast until after World War I. So by then, everybody who was involved with that, you know, wasn't even born when the Civil War was going on. And all the names came from old lists of people who had signed up in the county. The African-American soldiers, they had to go to Chicago to sign up. So that's why their names are missing. But I think that's a project that the county should do and to make that right. The second glaring thing that is wrong is outside on the north entrance is the plaque that gives the date that this building was recognized as being on the National Register. It is 1864 is the date on there. This building, the brick frame is from 1864, but of course the building burnt in 1883 and was rebuilt in 1883. And as far as the National Register is concerned, 1883 is the correct date, and that probably should be corrected. But that's just two things that I have. I'm always a bulldog on these things, and I like the history to be accurate. Thank you.
All right, we're gonna adjust the volume as we go. So if it gets higher, lower, screeches, I apologize. Consent agenda, motion and second, and I will read it. If there's any items to be removed, please let me know. Approval of county board meeting minutes from April 15th, 2025. Approval of committee meeting minutes. Approval of claims in amount not to exceed $2,283,464.41 from May 15th, 2025. Approval of resolution amending Kendall County Wellness Program guidelines. Approval of revised employment of minors policy, effective July 1, 2025, section 3.1 of the Kendall County Employee Handbook. Approval of revised drug and alcohol use abuse policy, effective July 1st, 2025, section 5.4 of the Kendall County Employee Handbook. Approval of the revised work-related injury illness reporting policy, effective July 1, 2025, section 5.1 of the Kendall County Employee Handbook. Approval of revised jury and witness duty policy effective July 1, 2025, section 8.4 of the Kendall County Employee Handbook. Approval of revised bereavement leave policy effective July 1, 2025, section 8.8 of the Kendall County Employee Handbook. Approval of annual facility inspection report for NPDES permit for stormwater discharges from separate storm sewer systems, MS4, filing fee of $1,000 to be paid from planning, building, and zoning departments, NPDES permit line item as printed. Approval of an ordinance granting variance to the Kendall County Highway Access Regulation Ordinance for Cannonball Trail. Approval of resolution authorizing the use of eminent domain to acquire certain parcels of land for roadway purposes along Ridge Road between Holt and Black in Kendall County, Illinois. Approval of Main Street Campus Improvements Proposal. Approval of Phase 2 Contingency Reduction Number 2 of $75,293 with revised contract amounts as follows: light construction, $2,623,333, $33,663 increase. CMM Group, $814,371, that's an $11,179 increase. TSI Commercial Flooring, $598,862, $1,227 increase. Omega Plumbing, $306,193, $965 increase. Artlib and Sons, $876,870, that's a $570 increase. Aurora Wiring and Fixture, $1,049,689, a $27,689 increase. Letter O, approval amendment to the vehicle lease agreement between Kendall County and the Voluntary Action Center. Letter P, approval of resolution establishing a policy for the use of WEX cards for purchased fuel for Kendall area transit vehicles. Letter Q, approval of Empower Health Services LLC biometric screening agreement in amount not to exceed $135 per plan participant. Letter R, approval of purchase of body-worn camera hardware for the Kendall County Sheriff's Office and a one-year storage of $53,863.00. Approval of resolution for credit card policy and credit card acknowledgement. And that concludes my ramblings. Are there any items to be removed? With that, could I get a roll call?
Mr. DeBolt?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Kokol?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson?
Aye.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Ms. Shanley?
Yes.
Mr. Wormley?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries. Next is new business. We're going to have a presentation for the Kendall County Annual Financial Report for November 30th, 2024 by Mack & Associates. I see Treasurer and is that Tanya Mack? You want to come on up?
Hello, Tanya Mack with Mack & Associates. I think you all have the PDF. They have the PDF of the audit, correct? Okay. In going through the audit report, the first few pages are our audit report. We did issue a clean opinion again this year on the audit. The next several pages are the management discussion analysis section. This is just a good, you know, 8 or 10 pages to read through if you want to kind of just get a snapshot of what's going on for the county for the year. I'm going to jump back and start on page 15, which is the statement of net position. For the year, I'm going to go through the total columns there, comparative 24 versus 23. Total current assets for the year of $140 million compared to $133 million. Total assets, and this does include your non-current, which would be any receivables as well as capital assets, of $302 million compared to $288 last year. Deferred outflows of resources at $23.4 million compared to $27.5 last year. Total liabilities of $32.8 million compared to $39.6 million last year. Deferred inflows of $38.1 million compared to $39.5 million. And then a total net position at year end up at $255 compared to $237 million last year. The next page on page 16 is the statement of activities. You can see that this page does show the expenses first, so $69.3 million in expenses, and then shows the program revenues, so the charges for services and then grants and contributions to see do the revenues generated by these programs cover the expenses. Obviously, with a municipal entity, that's generally not the case. Total charges for services of $10.4 million, operating grants and contributions of $11.4 million, capital grants and contributions of 3.7 for a shortfall here of 43.7 million. Coming down then to the general revenues coming in this year of 61.7 million for a net increase in position of 17.9 million. Now on page 17 of the funds, you're more used to seeing without those capital assets, without the obligations for pension. So again, those total columns there, last two columns on page 17, total assets, which is your cash and accounts receivables. any inventories and prepaid expenses of $111.5 million compared to $105.9 million last year, total liabilities of $4.5 million compared to $3.7 million last year, for a net fund balance of $107 million, up from $102 million last year. On page 18, that reconciliation just reconciles back up to Statement A, bringing in those capital assets as well as the pension obligations. On page 19, this is kind of your snapshot for the year of the revenues and expenditures. So again, those last two columns, total revenues for the year of $87.1 million, up from $82.8 million last year. Total expenditures of $82.3 million, down slightly from $83.4 million the year before. The various transfers in and out, netting there to zero, for a net change in fund balance of just under $4.8 million, up to $107 million. At year end. The next page is just the reconciliation, bringing on those items to reconcile you back up to Statement B. I'm going to jump back to your general fund. So if you jump all the way back to page 61, just want to give you a summary here of the general fund. So total revenues for the year of $36.1 million, up from $33.3 million the prior year. Total expenditures of $25.1 million, up from last year's 23.1, down from the budget of 26.4. And then you can see the various transfers in of 384,000, transfers out of 10.4 million. Netting increase here of 924,000 up to 25.2 million at year end. The next several pages are the detail of revenues and expenditures. I'm not gonna go through those in total. I'm gonna jump back to the next major fund here. I just want to hit on a couple of these. Let me get there. On page 75 is your IMRF Social Security funds. So total revenues in this year of $4.3 million, total expenditures of just under $4.5 million, for an increase here of $368,000, bringing that fund balance at year end to $4.6 million. Transportation sales tax on page 76. Total revenues in this year of $9.4 million, expenditures of $8.9 million, for an increase here of $394,000 up to $10.7 million at year end. Public safety sales tax, $9.1 million, expenditures of $2 million. And then you see the various transfers out there of $4.1 million for a net increase in fund balance here of $2.9 million up to $13.4 million at year end. Health and Human Service Fund on page 78, 79, 80. On the bottom of 78, total revenues there of $6.5 million, which is down from last year's $8 million. Total expenditures there on the bottom of page 79, $6,019,000 compared to $6.5 million last year. Transfers in and out here, netting to $368,000 transfers out, for a net change in fund balance of $158,000, increasing that fund balance up to $5.7 million at year end. On page 81 is your ARPA fund. Total revenues here of $288,000, expenditures of $2.9 million, transfers going out of $736,000 for a decrease here of $3.3 million, leaving a fund balance at year end of $1.2 million in that fund. And then on page 82 is your transit fund. Total revenues here of $2.1 million, expenditures of $2 million, netting for a change in fund balance of $93,000 up to $292,000 at year end. And then 83 is your lost revenue fund. Total revenues here of $10,000. Expenditures of $5.5 million. This fund was fully depleted this year. All right, I'm not going to hit on all the individual funds. Those were just your major funds, so kind of hitting on those significant balances. I will jump back to your tax rates and assessed valuations on page 222. You can see over the past 5 years trend here, the assessed valuation has been climbing. In 2019, the assessed valuation for the county was at $3.4 billion. Currently in 2023 was at $4.6 billion. Correspondingly, as that assessed valuation is going up, with the property taxes coming in, that tax rate per $100 of assessed valuation has decreased. So the tax rate this year was 0.5671, bringing in just over $26 million in tax dollars this year. Just a few pages I want to hit on. The single audit section, which starts on page 225. Anytime a municipality expends more than $750,000 in federal dollars, We are required to do what's called a single audit, which includes the schedule of expenditures of federal awards. This year, the county did spend $14.4 million in federal dollars. Significant portion of that was your ARPA funds, which was $8.5 million in expenditures this year. So that's all in this section here. And then we did not have any financial statement findings this year. If you flip to the very last page, the last year's did have some financial statement findings, which was financial statement preparation, significant audit adjustments. That did improve significantly this year. Over the last few years, we have been, kind of working with the county to make sure that more of the cash to accrual reporting is happening here at the county level, not in our office, since it is required to be here at the county level, and that's really went well. There were some adjustments that we did have to make this year, but kind of with each year, it's getting better and better. The one difficulty I would say that we did have this year was just getting cooperation and timely reports from the health department. So really that was our only delay in the audit. Normally we'd like to be here a little earlier than May, since it's 6 months into your fiscal year now. So that was really our only holdup, was getting reporting from the health department this year. Any questions? I know I throw a lot at you guys really quickly, but.
No, not necessarily, but I just want to thank Tanya and your office and everything that you've done for us over, almost 20 years now.
Yes. I want to take, you're dating me. Thank
Jill.
You.
And Christina and Latrice and Jennifer for all their work and help out, and also the health department as well for helping out with this. It's good to see a good financial audit come through, and I think it shows that we're being fiscally responsible across the county here. So, thanks to everybody involved with it.
So moved.
Wormley, second by Schoeppel. I get a roll call on that, please.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Kochel?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson?
Aye.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Ms. Shanley?
Yes.
Mr. Wormley?
Yes.
Mr. DeBolt?
Yes.
A good motion carries. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
With that,
as if you weren't here. item C here, finance and budget approval of an assignment of the October 4th, 2022 grant agreement with Kendall 211 to Fox Valley United Way for disbursement and use of the Kendall County's American Rescue Plan Act funds. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Rodriguez, second by Peterson. Any questions, comments on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Item D, through highway, approval of an ordinance granting variance to the Kendall County Highway Access Regulation Ordinance along Plainfield Road. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Rodriguez, second by Peterson. Fran, do you want to come up and chat about that real quick here about regarding this ordinance or the variance?
This variance request comes from Matt Hooven 11 LLC at the intersection of Plainfield Road and Woolley Road. I think there was some concern about the extent of the variance because it's a significant variance from our allowable full access spacing. I think all of those problems, details, concerns have been worked out. The Village of Oswego is supportive of the variance. The Kendall County Highway Department is supportive of the variance. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Highway Chairman, Mr. Pearson, have any comments on it?
No, I think it's all in order. Appreciate your work, Fran.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. And turn it back over to Chairman Kellogg.
All right. With that, we'll move to elected officials and departments reports. Sheriff Baird or Under Sheriff Richardson?
Hi, good morning. Should I leave this thing off so it doesn't echo, or doesn't matter?
No, we're good.
Okay, perfect. The sheriff's office packet starts, or report starts in your packet on page 157. Just a few highlights. As you guys see, it kind of ebbs and flows. With calls for service were down, our traffic contacts were up. Allows us to put a little more time on the street for traffic-related projects. The evictions stayed fairly steady at 5. Just a couple things that we've got going on within the county. Last Friday, we had a cop on a rooftop, raised over $7,000. So I want to say thank you to all the board members, everybody is able to participate and help out with Special Olympics for that. Pretty nice chunk of money for really for one day of getting out and raising some money for Special Olympics. Our crime suppression details still still moving forward. The community will continue to see our squads out and about throughout the northeast side of the county. Not only marked, but unmarked cars will be out there. I know that there was some questions on a few of the Facebook pages and things like that as to why the state police were out on Douglas Road 2 weekends ago, I think. And it was part of the SAVE team, which is a dedicated team the state police has to look for violent offenders and stolen vehicles and things of that nature. So they were gracious enough to send down 7 of their state troopers to come help with that detail, and they'll continue to do that. We also have the availability to use the state police plane if and when we need assistance for any of those calls. So that's been a great partnership that we've been able to develop, and I want to just thank Chairman Kellogg for continuing to support that. So if you guys have any questions for me, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Not a question. I just wanted to make a comment and say thank you. I live in the farthest northeast corner of the county in Aurora. I kind of joke with several of you around here that I can literally stand in Kane and Kendall County at the same time because the boundary is right behind my dumpster. but in the last couple months, I've seen a lot more presence of the Kendall County Sheriff's Department, the squad cars driving through my particular area. And it's been very refreshing to see that patrol through the area. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we know with school getting ready to get out and, you know, a lot of the kids having more free time, we know the community safety is important and trying to get out in front of it before school was out to kind of set the tone that, hey, we're not here to mess around and it's not a place to come if you have nefarious thoughts. So, yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Under Sheriff Richardson, for all you do. Sheriff's office, difficult job. I just had a question. You brought up squad cars. How are our newer squad cars come along? Are they all outfitted? I haven't really heard much about those.
Yeah, no, we're fully operational. We're out and about, and that's maybe why the community is also seeing more squad cars on the streets too. Is the fact that we're fully operational, and with the continued new hire process, they don't get a squad car until they get off the FTO program. And with 4 currently in the FTO program and looking to hire a few more in the very short and near future, we'll continue to have those cars on the street. Increasing staff also increases visibility. So we will we'll continue to put those cars to great use. So we really truly appreciate that.
Yeah, Member Rodriguez.
Good question. Out of those squad, how many are take homes that officers actually take home?
Of the cars,
new
right
squad
now.
Cars, yeah.
So we're short technically because of the FTO program and the ones that are in the academy, we're down about 7 right now. So I mean we're running about 37, 38 on the street, but some of those are obviously unmarked squads that you'll see out and about also from investigations and plus our covert and tactical unit.
Thanks.
So, yeah, and as the numbers continue to increase, that's the nice thing about having those squads available for them when to hit the ground running once they complete the field training officer program.
So. Any other? I see Dan's light on. No.
As the school year ends, I just want to say thank you again. I know I brought to your attention, I had a lot of complaints last fall with kids going to and from Yorkville High School to IVIC, and the amount of accidents that were happening and concerned parents and citizens, and you guys took swift action and really did a great job on curtailing that. And as I was at Cop on a Rooftop last week, there was a student that was there, and they were like, yeah, we're kind of annoyed that there's so many cops out there now that, like, watching us, because apparently there were kids racing back and forth, but your presence out there made a big difference, and I know a lot of parents thank you guys, so thanks again. And school's ending here soon, so.
Yeah, thanks, and that'll be an ongoing project every year. I think that as new drivers get their driver's license and they realize the back way to IVIC, you know, it's been a complaint for years, and, you know, so that'll be a special detail, and, you know, we're open and happy to express the concerns to the school every year. It's just something that, you know, we understand, and we'll get out in front of.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Brian.
Yes, Mr. Richards, thank you for you and your staff, the sheriff, for what you do for us. The one observation I have on the highways, and it's not so much the county, but in the cities, you could be traveling towards a stoplight and there'd be one or two cars in front of you, and you can see that light turning yellow, and these cars are blowing right through them red lights. I don't know if there's any type of word we can get out to people. You know, school's out, kids are on the road, but it just seems like more and more I see more cars just blowing right through the red lights, and you kind of cringe as they do it, but we appreciate, I know you don't have a lot of stoplights in the county, but I don't know what we can do about that.
Yeah, and it's obviously a growing issue as the county continues to grow, and there's more traffic on the roadway now than ever in history. And we have more vehicles moving and, you know, places, people going and traveling outside the county for work. And you definitely see the traffic lights are more congested. And it seems, as we see with traffic stops and speeds, you know, in excess of 90, 100 miles an hour, we understand that these people are just running late always, or that, or they just have no care for some of the rules and laws that they've learned through driver's ed. So when we see it, we take action. I know that the municipalities are trying to come up with ways, you know, to get out in front of it and combat it too. So
thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions or comments for Bobby? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Great, thank you.
County clerk and recorder.
My revenue report is in the packet, if anybody has any questions.
Okay. Thank you. County Treasurer, Ms. Furco. Yes.
Thanks, Sean. Now, just off the top of your head, can you just name a few banking institutions where folks can pay their tax bill?
Sure. You know, most of the banks here in Mitchell County, First National Bank of Omaha, American Commercial Banking Trust, BMO, Old Second, Old National Bank. It's all this on the back of the list.
All right, thank you very much. Clerk of the court, I believe it's in the packet. State's attorney.
No report.
All right, coroner, I see Levi here, as I know Jackie Purcell is out of state right now, so welcome.
So the report's in your packet. The only thing of really big mention is that we did our biannual drug take back program. So that particular event occurred April 26th, I believe. We ended up taking 175 pounds of medications, of which 125 went to the DEA for destruction. The remainder had sharps and other hazardous materials that we had to remediate first. Almost 50 pounds of sharps and about 20 pounds of diabetic supplies. We continue our ongoing collection efforts for the drop boxes throughout the county and the sharps collection box and point. We recovered 53.3 pounds of unused medications from those boxes in April and 65 pounds of sharps. I know I say it every time I'm here, but again, thank you guys for the opportunity to utilize the opioid funding to run this program. It is by far and large the most positive feedback we get in our office, especially the sharps program. There's not a lot of resources out there, and we are one of the only resources that can collect that. So we've gotten many, many, many positive feedback, and we make sure that we always tell them that this is available for grant funding. It's not coming from, you know, individual tax dollars, and it's a huge, huge program for the county. So I want to say thank you again for that. So.
Thank you. Other questions? Appreciate it. Health Department, Rayanne Van Gundy. Morning. Can you turn the mic on? Sorry. We'll leave it hot for a while. Bottom right. There you go.
All right. Sorry, is that okay? We're wrapping up grant season. Usually our March through end of May is very busy for grants. Currently looking upwards of 50 grants, which means a lot of writing, a lot of follow-up as far as, you know, how much time is each person spending in the grant, what different supplies, what are going to be any kind of forecasted expenses for the next year. So that's taken up a lot of time. But hopeful that we're coming out pretty good. We're still waiting on the state budget. And see what that does to our numbers. We look like we're probably going to come in pretty even. So we're very thankful we're coming unscathed from the big clawback and everything that's occurred. So we feel good about that. And then I wanted to also bring your attention to, I believe you received an invite for our community partner assessment, which is on July 10th out at Whitetail. Again, that's the first assessment of three in our I-Plan, which helps to make us a certified health department, but it's also our community health improvement plan. So we really use that data. I know the schools can use that data. Any other agencies look to see what our assessment brings out for their funding opportunities as they begin to write grants as well. So if you could join us, that would be great. It's gonna be a packed day. At the end of the day, we're gonna end up with a survey to send out to the community, which is called our community context survey. So we can not only hear from the partners and the providers in the community, but then we will also hear from the residents. So we look forward to the next 8 to 10 months really working on that community health improvement plan.
Thank you, any questions? Very good, thank you. Supervisor of Assessments, Andy Nicoletti. Hit the button, thank you.
Yep, so I don't really have anything in particular to report. You know, tax bills are keeping us busy. A lot of people not turning in their exemptions, so I'm doing a lot of certificates of error. If you know anybody who gets a letter from me or any kind of paperwork for exemptions, please have them, if they don't know what it is, give my office a call, because I've done probably half a ream of paper and certificates of error, so. Which makes more work for my office and also for Jill's office.
You still do follow-up phone calls on the senior ones?
We do, yeah. Actually, we did, I think, probably 400 or 500 calls back in February. And people say, oh, yeah, we'll be in, and then they don't always come in. And then when they get their tax bill, their exemption's not there, then they're on the mm-hmm. phone. But, you know, we do what we can. Aside from going door-to-door and saying, hey, you know, you need to turn your paperwork in, you know, we do as much as we can, so.
Yeah, all right. Other questions for Andy? Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Regional Office of Education, I do not, Megan's hiding in the back there. Thank you. Morning.
Good morning. It is a busy time of year for the ROE. As the health department mentioned, we are working on wrapping up some of our state grants that are coming due in early June, as well as working on compliance, paperwork, and visits for 5 schools throughout the 2-county area, both Grundy and Kendall. Schools throughout those two counties submit state-specific compliance paperwork every 4 years in addition to those health, life, safety visits, which happen yearly. So a special thanks to Assistant Shelley Sempner, who does a lot of the health, life, safety visits. She does a great job on getting out to all the schools every year. So that's all I have. If there's any questions I can answer, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
EMA, Roger Benucci. Rob, you want to carry him up there, or he's getting... Turn the mic on, please, sir. We just leave it on.
You couldn't hear my big mouth, Matt.
The recording.
This is Savannah Troyer. She's our EMA intern. We haven't had the pleasure of having an intern ever before, so we're very happy to have her. She's digging into things, and she passed the test because she read the emergency operation plan and she didn't fall asleep, so I think she's going to work out. I brought I asked Rob to come up here because I wanted him to talk about some LEPC stuff here.
So he caught me off guard on this. I don't have the exact dates or anything, but a couple weeks ago, to help with Mr. Wormley here, I was notified of an LEPC incident that happened on Plainfield Road. It was a result of an auto accident where a semi-tractor trailer had overturned. Oswego Fire and Kendall County Sheriff responded to the scene. There was no release of diesel fuel or anything while they were there, but a towing company arrived with two cranes and they were trying to upright the vehicle. As they were uprighting the vehicle, they punctured one of the side saddle tanks. Instead of notifying the sheriff's office or Oswego Fire, they tried to clean it up themselves and made the situation worse. One of the residents notified Mr. Wormley, who then notified me. I went back on site with Oswego Fire, and we discovered approximately 50 gallons of diesel fuel had filled the culvert and was spilled all over the road. I notified the LEPC coordinator in Springfield. We then coordinated with the EPA. So it's an ongoing situation and investigation right now, but there is remediation in progress with the EPA, where the trucking company is going to have to tear out the entire culvert and put fresh soil in place.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but you guys have ever been around a diesel spill, it smells and smells and smells. I mean, it takes up the whole area. The state LEPC has been giving us a lot of really positive feedback about what a good job Rob is doing in LEPC. I'm just really happy that he's in that position. We participated in Spark with the YMCA Saturday, can't remember now. But what it is a teenage career exploration event. And we were out showing them how to splint legs and arms in a case of an emergency. We had a good time with them. This coming Saturday is our traffic incident management class. It's going to be all day, and we'll be certified by IDOT after that is over. We attended the Region 3 meeting in Kankakee, where we had presentations by the state recovery office and also the state Office of Flood Management. We also attended the National Weather Service outdoor warning event here recently. We're preparing for our CERT classes this summer for Oswego for adults in the Sheriff's Youth Academy. And Rob here also is working on his PDS, which is a professional development series, which is a certificate for emergency management in the state. So he's working on that. Any questions?
Thank you, appreciate the update.
Thank you.
Public Defender has a report in the packet. Veterans Assistance Commission, I see Tim in the corner, if you want to come on up. Everybody should have a handout on their table, too.
Good morning.
I decided to make a handout because, you know, usually when I come up here, I talk about a lot of numbers, but those numbers deserve an explanation. So what I did is I just provided a brief synopsis of each benefit that we help veterans with, and the numbers of veterans that we assist, and also the amounts we bring in, both monthly, annually, retroactively, healthcare-wise, in our assistance program and our transportation program. So I encourage you to peruse that. If you have any questions on it, feel free to reach out. But my main focus here is I wanted to introduce you to our new outreach coordinator. And as you can see on the last couple pages, this is what she's done thus far. Was it the last one, two, three, four pages?
That's it? I mean, there's 113. Wow. That's yeah. Awesome.
So, and this is just the beginning, and this is only after like 2 weeks. So I want to just introduce you to Sarah and give her a chance to talk, because my stuff you can just read, and it's really entertaining. It's like a novel. So, but yeah, here's Sarah.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Sarah Gavin. I am the new Veteran Outreach Specialist and County Service Officer for the VAC here in Kendall. What outreach focuses on is really connecting veterans and their families to the services not only that we provide in our office and throughout Kendall, but to everything that they deserve. We want to look at veterans and their families as a whole. You know, it's not just their physical and mental well-being, their access to health care, right? It's about having gainful job employment. You know, if they're at risk of being homeless or they have food insecurities, what resources can we connect them to throughout? We want them to be successful in regards to, you know, their child care, their overall happiness and their success throughout their lives, regardless of when they served and how they served. You know, veteran concerns and issues are everyone's concerns, because that's the 1% of our population in the United States that said, you know, do with me as you will, and their families sacrifice and their caregivers sacrifice just as much. We want the 4,200 veterans in Kendall County to understand that we're available to them, but also what Kendall County has, not only in our internal departments, but, you know, it's the electricians, the plumbers, the housing, the things that are available on the local level outside of just the federal constituents that we deal with. So I will be individually reaching out to all of you as well. You know, we're going to community events. We want to bring services to Kendall as well, and we want that to be as an accessible fashion as possible. I'll also be going around to our local communities and bringing awareness to events that we're going to, and then, you know, creating things that are just welcoming and recreational and therapy. You know, for instance, you know, the Oswego Police Department and myself have partnered. We have created a 3-event series called Run, Walk, Ruck. And it's just going together as a community. And if you participate in all three, you know, the Oswego Police Department will have a nice gift for them as a send-off. But it's really to bring awareness to the camaraderie and then the veterans' suicide rates that we have to concern with here in Kendall County. So once again, thank you all. It's such a pleasure. And, you know, as we continue on, we'll be happy to share the wonderful success stories that we have. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you. Any questions for the VAC? Yeah.
So part of what we do is we're connecting with nonprofit organizations that maybe they're not available here in the county yet, but we have to show good faith to them as well. So that particular event, Heroes, Hogs, and Hot Rods, excuse me, I always mess that one up. It's actually a nonprofit agency called Project Headspace and Timing. So they provide not only recreational therapy, but they provide mental health assistance on site. So if someone calls at 3 a.m., you know, they'll come on out regardless of where they're at to meet that veteran, whether it's, you know, at their house, you know, if it's locally in the community or at a friend's house, right? But then it's also bringing the resources that they provide in regards to, you know, they do emergency funding for at-risk veterans or veterans that are homeless into getting them into sustainable housing. So we have to be aware of, you know, some of the agencies that we go to, they might not be, you know, directly in Kendall County, but we can bring them here. And what they're willing to do, if they want to take that hour, 2-hour drive to come to us, I'm not going to turn them away for the good faith that they want to do for the community here.
Any other questions? Yes, Brian.
Just thank you for the effort that you put into helping our veterans, Tim, and your organization. I know there's a lot of veterans in Kendall County that do need help, and the without you folks here with us, that would be very difficult for them. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No standing committee reports, no special committee reports, any liaison reports. Other business, Seth Wormley, would you announce the plans, what you have?
On behalf of the comprehensive plan that we're working on for updating that plan, there's gonna be some open houses coming up. These are just two listed, there'll be many more, but we encourage the community to show up to these open houses and have some input. For those of you that don't know what the comprehensive plan update is, this is the future zoning and how it may affect what Kendall County looks like in your area. Where with going through the amount of growth that we've had over the last approximately 15 years, which is the last time it was updated, this is an important project. So we ask for the community's input at these workshops to get feedback that we use when we have the discussions about what that future plan will look like. So these meetings are important. If you'd like to have some input, we encourage you to show up. The first workshop will be May 27th at 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Ellis House. That is on 13986 McKenna Road down off 52, if you're not familiar with that. The second workshop will be June 4th at the Charles Phillips Library in Newark. That's right in the middle of town on North Jackson Street. If you'd like more information, you can visit the county's website in regards to this special project at visionkendall.org.
Very good. Any questions for Seth? Appreciate that. And if anybody has a chance to get out there, I know they're looking for lots of input. All right. Chairman's report, can I get a motion for approval of Corey Johnson Public Aid Appeals and Tom Fletcher Lisbon Seward Fire District? DeBolt and Kokol, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Also, Chairman's report, let Christina Burns introduce a new employee that we have with us.
Yes, Natalia Borowska, excuse me, started 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago, as our management analyst, and she has jumped right in. We're down temporarily in economic development while Todd is home for a little time recovering, and we've done a lot with GSEP, local businesses, and just helping out administration. So we are glad to have her.
Very good, welcome.
Thank you.
With that, you also see some new fresh faces in the crowd, probably used to sitting through lectures like this. So I get the chance to embarrass them because one of them embarrassed me last week. If you guys would stand up, they'll be in front of you a lot more, but we have our interns with us. I'd like to thank Leslie Johnson, HR. Sometimes they have to do the dirty work, things that people don't like, but this is the program that I love. It's amazing. We have so many fresh faces in the county buildings and on campus doing things, interns from different colleges around the state. Just thank you for what you do with that, and welcome all of you. I know we're gonna see each other more, different events, talking, and then you'll have presentations at the end of your internship. So thank you all for that, and we'll see more of you. So another one I wanna mention, I know Bobby's sitting over there. Chris Phillips does the Sheriff's Youth Academy. Just another amazing program for the young people in the community that come and get to learn about first responders and all the things that happen with coroner, EMA, with the county and with the sheriff. So you're gonna see a lot of young people over on that campus. Really excited to have those people, and then they'll come and culminate with a banquet, I believe at Whitetail at the end of that. If you have a chance to get to that as a citizen, it's an amazing program. Just to see the transformation of some of those young people, the confidence they gain through that program. Chris is one of those amazing employees for the county that we continue to thank him, but you can't thank him enough. So a shout out to that. So with that, another chance for public comment. If you have a comment for the county board, if you would please come forward and state your name, you will have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Doug Windsor, and I live on Cornelius Road in Bristol. Some of you may recognize the group I have with me today. At the last two board meetings, we've aired concerns regarding a property in our neighborhood seeking approval to operate as a short-term rental. Today, we are here to express our sincere appreciation to the county board, to county employees who have listened to those concerns and have taken them seriously. From our group and other neighbors who could not be here this morning, a heartfelt thank you to you all.
Thank you. Any other public comment? With that, questions from the press? We do not have a need for executive session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So
Peterson and Gangler, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all for joining us today.